everybody.
Hello and welcome to Disney Magic Hour, episode number 71. On this week's show, we have a little special Christmas episode for everyone as we review Mickey's Christmas Carol. To my left is Melissa. Say hello, Melissa.
Hello, Melissa.
Joining us via Skype is Brian. Say hello, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
Joining us also via Skype from the Main Street Gazette is Ryan Wilson. Say hello, Ryan.
Hello, Ryan.
Hello, Pete. And say hello, Pogo. That once again was There You Are by Pogo. I think I've kind of decided that is our theme song. I dig it so much. You can find that track and more over at soundcloud.com/PogoMix. His website is pogomix.net. This episode of Disney Magic Hour, though, is brought to you by MEI Travel. For all your Christmas planning needs, if you are such a sadist and you feel like traveling during Christmas, go over to MEI Travel, book everything up. With that being said, it is crazy during the holidays here, but there is something awesome about coming down to Walt Disney World during the holidays. Don't worry about the crowds. Come down, enjoy the atmosphere. And how you do that is head over to meitravel.com. Becky and her team can take care of everything for you. Make your trip nice, smooth, and easy. We are LastGenPodcast.com. Find us on Twitter for this show at DizMagicHourPod. You can find us on Facebook on Disney Magic Hour for our group. And then you can find the podcast over on iTunes, Google. And you can find all of our past episodes over at soundcloud.com/Disney Magic Hour podcast. Melissa, where can everyone find us on the Instagram?
On the Instagram is at Disney Magic Hour podcast.
And there you go. That is us. At least I am pretty sure that that is us. I forgot to write down those section of notes, so I had to remember it.
You did a pretty good job.
Not bad. It wasn't terrible.
You would think after 70 episodes, you'd have.
No, that's the problem. I don't have a good memory. Ryan, where can everyone find you and everything, the voodoo that you do so well? Over at Main Street Gazette.
Now I feel like we need to shoot someone in the foot. And I try to keep it simple for everyone. So the site is mainstgazette.com. If you search the same thing in Twitter or Instagram, you'll find us there. And if you search Main Street Gazette on Facebook, we're right there too.
And there you are, folks. That's where you can find all of our stuff. Brian Bogad, how are you, my man?
I am good. How are you doing?
I'm good. You're looking for, what are you doing Christmas? Doing the same old thing? A house?
Same old thing. Family coming over, same old, same old.
What about you, Ryan? Anything special?
I finished all my wrapping this year.
Oh, yeah?
Which is a first for me, because normally Christmas Eve I'm wrapping, so I'm very proud of myself.
Boy, you're a big boy now. It's all grown up. You're all grown up. Ryan, what are you doing for the holidays?
Family will be here. The wife and I will do our thing on Christmas Eve, and then everyone will be here on Christmas Day, and then hopefully relax a little bit after that.
Sounds good. Melissa, you actually said you might go to the park on
Saturday.
That's Eve, right?
Yeah. Depends. I got to make sauce, so we'll see how that goes.
Make it a sauce. So what are we talking about this week? Oh, actually, first off, a little bit of a end-of-the-year announcement. We will continue our relationship with MEI Travel through 2017. Spoke with Becky recently, and we are going to give all of 2017 a whirl, and very excited and very happy. And, we're looking to expand some stuff next year, do some new things. And just thank you, everyone, for your support. And go visit MEI Travel. Go on vacation. And tell them we sent you. Yeah. But we're going to talk about Mickey's Christmas Carol. Now, we're always honest on this show. We're honest. This is not the movie I thought that I was referring to when I told everyone to watch this, because it's been a busy week. And earlier today, when I sat down to watch this, and I saw it was 26 minutes long, I realized that this was not the one I was thinking of. I was thinking of Once Upon a Christmas. That is not what we watched. So we watched a 26-minute short, and that's what we're going to talk about. And we're going to give you some information about it. This was actually released back in 1983. I don't know why, but that seems well before my brain thought that it would have come. Maybe because, once again, I was thinking of something else. But this was actually came out in 1983, and it was produced and directed by Bernie Mattinson. And wow, the resume with Disney that emerges from this career. He was a writer on Tarzan, Mulan, Hunchback, Pocahontas, The Lion King, Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, Great Mouse Detective, which he also directed. Is it a he? It's got to be.
I think so.
Bernie? God, I hope so. It's unfortunate if it's not.
Yeah,
which he also directed. Also had some writing credit on Black Cauldron and Fox and the Hound. Now, understand, writer means they wrote something. It doesn't mean they wrote the story. They were a writer. But still, that is so long. And actually, his first writing credit came from the 1977 film Rescuers, which we'll get to eventually. Actually, we'll get to everything I said eventually.
I also got that he had some writing credit on Big Hero 6.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, his resume stretches a long time.
Bernie. Let's see. I don't know. Yeah, I guess maybe. You had him as a writer. Really? He was a writer on Big Hero?
He definitely had. Yeah, the Big Hero 6 was definitely in his credits. Maybe I got it wrong.
Who knows? Oh, no. He was a story artist.
Oh, okay.
He was a story artist on Big Hero 6. But still, that means that, you know, he's been working with the Disney company since 77. All the way up to, you know, the most recent.
40 years.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. This was largely, I mean, obviously it was adapted originally from, you know, the Charles Dickens, you know, Christmas Carol. But this version, at the length that it's at, it was actually a largely laid upon animated version of the 1974 an adaptation of Christmas Carol. Like, it was a Mickey's Christmas Carol that, you know, was a Disneyland Records release in 1974. And Ryan, you had some stuff on top of that, right?
Yeah. So, and being an LP in the 70s, it actually has a lot more music in it. They, when they adapted it, all of those like flowery kind of songs kind of became Scrooge's real dialogue. They cut it to where it would make sense into the movie, so that the only song they kept was "Oh, What a Merry Christmas Day," which you hear the opening and you hear the melody throughout. But you also end up with different characters. They replace the Ghost of Christmas Past, who was Merlin on the record, with Jiminy Cricket in the film. And same thing with the Ghost of Christmas Future. We go from the Evil Queen from Snow White now to Pete.
You know what? Actually, I like the first change to make it Jiminy. I would actually have preferred the original on the Ghost of Christmas Future, though.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen that. That would have been really cool. And actually, towards the song that you were talking about, "Oh, What a Merry Christmas Day," that was written by Frederick Sears and Irwin Kostel. Now, Irwin Kostel also orchestrated on Broadway "Shinebone Alley," "The Music Man," "Fiorello," and "West Side Story." Huh? Yeah, so quite a little list there. Something of real note, specific note, was this was the last time that Clarence Nash voiced Donald Duck. And he was really kind of like the last of the original three to perform his character, with, you know, Walt passing away, obviously, earlier. And I forget, I'm sorry, who was the gent who used to voice Goofy originally?
Oh.
I'm bad at this.
Who was Pinto Colvig. He had died in the 60s. Cliff Edwards was not around anymore to voice Jiminy Cricket, you know, all that kind of stuff. So this was, though, the swan song, I guess, in a way, for Clarence Nash to voice Donald Duck. So while a, you know, not, I wouldn't say like a monumentous, you know, release or anything that's overtly celebrated, you know, anymore, it's always viewed as like a nice little thing, but it kind of does have like a large piece of Disney history involved in it. Another thing of note, Minnie doesn't say a word.
Yeah.
No, Rosie Taylor actually recorded dialogue, and they never used it.
Oh, my God, really?
Yes.
Oh, so wait a minute. So, there, you know, there's – oh, well, I guess we'll get to it. Well, whatever. You know, there's always that scene where Cratchit's at home, and, he says something positive about Scrooge, and his wife is sort of like, what are you talking about? You know, blah, blah, blah. It was probably that, maybe, right?
That's what I would think, yes.
Yeah, because I couldn't think of any other time, and when she didn't speak in that scene, I was like, I don't think she's going to say anything for the rest of the movie.
That scene in Muppets Christmas Carol, though, is really good, because Miss Piggy plays that part, and she doesn't hold her tongue.
I've never seen it.
So good. You've
if
seen
I,
it.
If I've
had
seen
it, on.
It, I don't remember
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you don't.
You've had on TV before, and I don't, you know, I don't care to remember any of those moments. A couple of little interesting things that we just saw in the credits, and we'll get about that because we'll talk about that now because there's not much to talk about the story. Under the thanks, you know, it's actually weird. It's like, and creative talents, you know, involved. John Lasseter is listed in there, actually. And this was the only thing that he was involved in that actually had an animated Mickey Mouse in it. And he kind of, you know, I think what a year and a half later, I think he left the company. So it was just interesting seeing him on there. And then there's a production assistant listed as Don Hahn. So I don't know, like, how much production assistant-ish that role was, because for me, a PA is like a go-getter. I have a feeling he had a little more to do with it, but it was just interesting seeing like such a big name just as production assistant. You know, it just shows you like you got to start somewhere. So anyone else have something you want to throw in on this one?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, this was the first original Mickey Mouse theatrical cartoon produced in over 30 years. That's so, true. You know, we went from The Simple Things in 1953 to here. So it's been like a long time for any Mickey Mouse stuff. And this was actually nominated for an Academy Award for Best Animated Short Film in 1984.
Yeah, and it lost to Sunday in New York.
Which, I don't know what that is, but it's spelt like Sunday as in an ice cream sundae.
Yeah, it's spelt like an ice cream sundae, so that's pretty interesting. I'd never really heard of it, but I'd also never really paid attention to a lot of animated shorts outside of the Disney stuff usually, you know, that's why... Nowadays, when that stuff gets nominated, you can find it on iTunes. They'll make like a little block where you can rent all of those nominated, you know, shorts and animated shorts, you know, for one price. And it's a good way to sort of get a better idea when you're watching the Oscars of, you know, more than just like the biggies. You can find out about the smaller ones because a lot of times the smaller ones, they're just awesome. You know, you can find a lot of stuff in there.
And that's coming up soon.
That is coming up soon. Yeah. And there's a lot of good movies that are popping out now. Actually, I want to go see La La Land soon. I was going to go see it today, but it did not work out. So I'm going to see it next week. And then actually, I'll be reviewing it on the Film Basement. Actually, I'm going to do that next week.
Cool.
So who wants to, you know what, Ryan, why don't you this week kind of narrate us through this thing?
Oh, good. I was hoping for that. You know, one more thing before we get going, because we have the title
Christmas.
Here. You know, the title character of Scrooge is Alan Young, who we all know as Scrooge because he's been Scrooge our entire lives. He was DuckTales. He's also known as Wilbur from Mr. Ed.
Yeah.
He did Scrooge's voice on the record when they did it in the 70s, but they didn't think he would want to come back for the voice role for Scrooge McDuck in this. They're like, well, we didn't think you wanted to do television. And he's like, I worked with a talking horse for 5 years. I'll do anything. And that is how we got Scrooge, who we've known as Scrooge for the past, you know, 35 years.
Yeah. And also, I mean, like, you bring up a good point that he's really the main character, but it's called Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Yeah. Well, you put Mickey's name in front of something and you're
yeah, like just, I mean, like pure marketing, you know, that was all it was, like pure marketing strategy.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they threw it on the front of a re-release of The Rescuers, and the rest is history. We watch it every year. Somebody watches it every year. Yeah. But so we start out, we get our title sequence with "Oh, what a wonderful Christmas," and it's these pages that, you know, they're the old parchment kind of paper. It looks kind of tea stained with these drawings, and you know, we move into to Scrooge walking through old London, and basically, we see, oh, look, the cast of Robin Hood, the cast of Mr. Toad.
That was a raccoon, right? Am I right that the raccoon was from Robin Hood, or am I wrong on that one?
No, I think he's from Robin Hood. The hound is from Robin Hood. We see Lady Cluck at one point.
Yeah.
There's the big bad wolf and the three little pigs.
Yep. Yeah. And then you see their kids running around later. There's, you know, we see we'll see Ratty and Mole. You know, we start getting everybody that we know from some of these. Yeah, Aiden and I timed it with an anthropomorphic animal in an animated feature. We basically have shuffled them back into London.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why. I really, really. That toad flick really, really stuck with me ever since we've watched it. I get legitimately excited whenever I see now, like, you know, Ratty or McBadger was put into one scene over at Fezziwigs, which was Toad and stuff. I just don't know why, but man, you want me to get excited for like the simplest reason? Throw some Toad or Ichabod references in front of me. I've got to reassess my top 5 Disney films. I actually have to reassess it.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
I think that's something that changes no matter what. Like, you find anyone you haven't seen forever, and you're like, well, wait, does that rank higher or lower?
Yeah.
It's so tough. It's so subjective at the time. But so we get Scrooge. He goes to his counting house where we get the big cheese himself. We get Mickey, who is toiling away, trying to get to thaw out the frozen ink. And he's told not to use the coal that he used a piece last week with these great talk is cheap. And
and time is money.
Things on the wall, it's great.
Yeah,
like the opposite of the, you know, the cat on the cliff, and it's like hanging in there. These are the opposites. The cat would be falling off the cliff.
Mm-hmm. So we move to that. We get a role reversal. And I thought about this through the movie. We get nephew Fred, who comes in as Donald, which makes sense with Uncle Scrooge, all of those pieces. But he's so upbeat. This is like for Donald, this is a role reversal. And then you get Marley later, who's Goofy. And it feels like, you know, I know they don't match up with the right animals, but it's a definite role reversal for the two of them.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, Goofy is sort of, you know, I mean, he corrects himself. But, you know, he is the one who, how was it that, you know, that Scrooge put it? Like, Brian, do you remember it was something like, you know, ripping off a whole, you know, a woman or something like that?
He was
like
stealing
money from them and blah, blah, blah. And he was like proudly, like, you know, standing up for it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like, oh, that's not really our Goofy. But at the same time, his physical movements and his actions are really like they're truly Goofy.
Yeah. I mean, even when he touches the because Goofy's head appears as the door knocker on the front. It's, you know, like he acts like Goofy. So it's a weird thing to get used to, especially the Donald thing too, because not that he's not upbeat at times, but he doesn't have that, you know, flip out Donald moment at all, you know, which is you expect to happen.
I mean, like, I don't know if anyone caught Orion. I'm sure you caught Mel. The only time that we actually hear like the Donald scream is when he gets kicked out of that, you know, like that.
Yeah, out of the counting house.
That's only when he gets kicked out.
Oh yeah,
and we get that like sound effect, but beyond that, he's kind of Mickey.
Yeah, he's very happy.
Yeah,
and when I was thinking about the role reversal, I was like, you know, oh, we put Goofy so that he could fall down the stairs, and we get that the Goofy yell, and I was like, that's what that makes sense. It's like, but they could have just as easily done that with Goofy as nephew Fred. He could have got kicked out of the counting house and had the same effect.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But yeah, Donald Duck is his nephew because he's a duck.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in when Disney feels like it, that kind of stuff lines up. I don't know.
I kind of feel like this is like the Disney community theater version of A Christmas Carol, and they just started kind of casting people in roles.
You know what, though? Actually, I like that idea. I like that idea that Donald came in and auditioned as that role because, like, so he's really acting. Like, that's actually Donald Duck acting. You know, we see Donald normal, like in the shorts and stuff like that. That's how Donald, that's like how Donald normally is. But this was something that he auditioned for and got the role. I'm fine with that.
This is his day job.
That's what we're going with anyway.
Yeah, no, I like that idea. Like, it's community theater. Yeah, that's good.
I did like how, like, in the beginning, especially like when, you know, Scrooge talks about like his partner, you know, been dead however many years, like it kind of steals lines from the novel. But then, like, it also tends to go away from that, like, vastly, I think, especially towards the end.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of lifted dialogue direct from the thing. But I'll be honest, this short, what was it, 26 minutes, I said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This told me that every Christmas Carol film needs to be like 45 minutes tops. Because, I mean, like, we got it. You know, like, they really did. Like, everything they wanted. But that's actually something that I'll kind of throw a little bit of a poke at later. for a specific reason. I'm sorry, where were we? So we've got like Goofy, and he does the whole Jacob Marley bit, and then we meet the ghost of Christmas past.
Yeah.
Yep. Right? We meet Jiminy Cricket, and he's going to take us for a he's going to take Scrooge. You know, well, Scrooge tries to get rid of him. Scrooge is like, well, then, you know, he has time to go. He's like, well, then go. He's like, I don't want you here. You get out of here. And he convinces him to come along. He grabs Jiminy Cricket, and now we're flying over London.
I just have a quick question.
Yes.
When we were introduced to Jiminy here, we like are seeing it from his perspective, the hopping?
Straight out of Pinocchio.
Okay, yeah. I forgot if they had done that.
Yeah, they did that straight out of Pinocchio. I actually wrote that down. I thought that was really cool. Like, because, yeah, there's a lot of nods. Like, there's a lot of characters all over the place. But this was like a really direct, cool, I thought, Easter egg of sorts. This Christmas movie has more Easter eggs than Easter has, actually, now that I think of it. But that was really cool. Like the POV shot of Jiminy was straight out of the opening from Pinocchio.
Yeah,
that's
like
how
that.
We go towards Geppetto's workshop, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, it was. I thought that was really cool. He's even got the pin, but instead of it saying conscious, it says whatever. So the ghost of Christmas past. And then, we go off to Fezziwigs with the greatest people of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Mr. Toad with a wig on.
It's so appropriate.
It's really hard to get over Mr. Toad in any scene. It's just like,
But he doesn't have a line to say either. This was on such a budget. They're like, how many voice actors do we have within Palm's, penny?
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, that's who gets speaking roles. Like,
right. If you can do five voices, you're solid.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, who else can you do? Giant? Like, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, we will figure it out. So this had a lot of people, and this is like the only time when Chip and Dale pop in, right?
Yeah, Chip and Dale, Huey, Dewey, and Louie show up.
Yeah. So
we get Clarabelle. We get there's a bunch of people just wandering through this scene.
And to further your, community theater theory, Daisy Duck is, not Donald's opposite. She's, Scrooge's opposite. So again, I think you're right on the money. This is a theater community project.
Scrooge with a great haircut, by the way.
Yeah,
like that curly Q thing he has going on in the front. I don't know why they decided that was how. This is young Scrooge. We have to have the curly Q. I don't know why that happened. But it's a good. But we'll go with it. So we go through. So they're introduced. They kiss, and then we move forward to when he breaks her heart by foreclosing on her honeymoon cottage, and basically says, "I'm going to marry you."
That was especially rough.
That was right.
Like we didn't go through anything else in Scrooge's past. It was like you met the girl, you broke her heart, done. Let's move.
That's what mattered. Those were the 2 points that they were like, we got 26 minutes.
We say these go, so we got to move this.
I really want us to do the Muppets Christmas Carol because like this part in that, they had a song that, the love interest and Ebenezer sing. And it's like, it is heartbreaking. It is literally Daisy's heart's breaking. And then they cut it out like when it was on Netflix. I was really sad.
Oh,
they cut that song.
Okay, because I watched it on iTunes recently and I didn't remember the song.
Yeah, no, it is a heartbreaking song. If you YouTube that, it is really sad.
Wait, is Ebenezer in that Michael Caine?
Yeah.
Michael Caine?
Michael Caine.
I will not bury another Donald Duck. I won't do it. I've buried... How many Donald Ducks did he bury? That was always my question. I will not bury another Batman. Did he say another Batman?
No, another Wayne.
Another Wayne. Oh, that's right. Okay.
Wayne.
Yes. It's better if he would have said another Batman. Buried hundreds of Batmans. We just don't know it about it yet. Turns out he's the one killing all of them. He really is.
They're just replicas.
Ah, it would have been grand.
Oh, so, that's a whole other.
That's really what Blade Runner 2049 is.
Yes.
Not a sequel. Not a remake. For anyone worried, it's not a remake. It is a sequel. And... I want that movie to be amazing. I just don't know how that works. Okay, so yes, Disney. How are you doing? By the way, everyone, watch Blade Runner because it's kind of amazing. Like one of the best films of all time. So, all right. So, yeah, we're very in and out, lickety split. But, man, Scrooge is rough. Scrooge is extremely rough. Yes.
Yeah, he's really rough. I like how sassy they made Jiminy Cricket. Like, it was kind of like with keeping his character, because I know Pinocchio was like a long time before this, and I feel like even from like 83 to now, like the characters have undergone such a metamorphosis where, yeah, like, you know, they're not always like how we remembered them, but like,
yeah,
Jiminy's still sassy pants.
Yeah, like Mickey's no longer the rascal that he was when he was first introduced, you know, with playing, yeah, crazy and all that stuff. He's really just kind of like the big cuddly mouse. Actually, I take that back, though. These new cartoons have kind, yeah, of brought back that rascal thing, and that's why I like them. I understand, yeah, if, yeah, people aren't that huge on the Ren and Stimpy-esque animation on certain things. It seems like they kind of go like for gross out Ren and Stimpy-ish things. Mm-hmm. But I love the characterization of Mickey because he seems fun again.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem like boring and safe. And then Mickey and then Donald and Goofy, they just fit whatever role is necessary. But Donald's always Donald, and Goofy is always a version of Goofy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're not just the same three people all the time. I really like it. I really like that reintroduction, you know, of that new style and whatnot.
Yeah.
So now we're going to go to the Ghost of Christmas Past, which is
present.
We were
Willie the Giant.
Oh, yes. No,
Jiminy Cricket
was
the past. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cricket the past, giants are presents.
So we get the Willy the Giant, and he had all the food, and he has the same gag from Mickey and the Beanstalk where he can't say pistachio, like he can't, you know, he's flubbing on his word, and calls it yogurt instead. He really got some of the best gags in the whole movie. You know, he comes out, he gets the lamplight, you know, the lamppost turns it into a flashlight.
I like
he
that.
He lifts the wrong house. Roof,
he rips the roof open on the house and looks in.
Yeah, it's great. Like, it gave him really great gags, which I'm glad they put those in rather than us go visit Nephew Fred. Like, mm-hmm, I didn't need, you know, Nephew Fred telling us that Scrooge is a horrible miser in his game. Give me the gags. Show us Tiny Tim. Show us the Cratchits with cooking their little canary. And let's move this. Let's keep this moving.
Yeah.
And then you had the same, like, Mickey cutting a pea as he does, you know, in the short with the giant, remember? He cuts the
I don't remember that. Yep. Oh, okay.
They cut like the kidney bean, he cuts it really, really thin.
Oh, all right, yeah. Because also I thought when Scrooge was like escaping the giant through his shirt, I thought that was almost a direct lift from Mickey and the Beanstalk. Like when Mickey was like escaping from him. But yeah, that also I love that scene where he is out in the street. It reminded me I guess really reverse because it was 83, but it made me think of the movie The BFG.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, there's a really, you know, there's a big sequence of, you know, the big friendly giant making his way through, you know, the streets of London, and he's a little, you know, more intelligent than the giant, but, you know, he has to like hide amongst different things and use the environment to hide himself. So it kind of gave me like just a moment's remembrance of that. Oh, I'm sorry. That's later. Yeah. So yeah, we get the Mickey's boiling his clothes. Like, we think that's food, but he's just really doing Scrooge's laundry.
It's Scrooge's wash. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I have a question. I've always wondered about this. How, in fact, does money save Tiny Tim's life?
Proper food and medicine.
I guess because
is that what
I
it guess, is? Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so he can actually go see a doctor and stuff.
Oh, all right. I just thought it was like, you know, if the kid's got like something, he's probably gonna die.
Yeah, he's getting fresh vegetables. He's not getting scurvy now. You know, he might make it.
No scurvy. It's always a good way to start. How does Mickey live? He's eating nothing.
I don't know.
Look, guys, I'm trying
to
break down this myth.
Maybe he sneaks some coal.
What?
When he's in the office.
It's coal. My God, man.
Yeah, well, hey.
You got to do what you got to do, I guess, sometimes. Yeah. You haven't worked down these mines long enough, boy. So Tiny Tim shall die. And we go to, where do we go? Future?
We jump straight to Pete. We jump to, you know, Pete laying the fog out with his cigar is really a wonderful, nice little message we're sending here. but now we're in the cemetery, and, you know, if you don't recognize that as Pete, even in a hood, there's something wrong. and then we move on to we see Tiny Tim. It has passed away with really great emotion from Mickey. I mean, that was if this is community theater, A+ Mickey on that one.
Did a good job. Also, I liked that they had the weasels there.
Yes.
You know, digging the grate, and one of them sounded just exact. I don't remember if this was in Toad, but one of them just was doing a Peter Lorre impression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, Rick, hide me, Rick. That's, he was just Peter Lorre, and he had one line. That guy's like, I'm going to do this. I've got this, and I'm going to make the most of it.
That was his second voice.
Yeah. Yeah, that was his second voice. Got paid one right. But yeah, so now we kind of pan over and we see, what do we see? We see the grave being dug, right?
Yeah, there's a big hole and Scrooge asks who it is. And it's breaking character for the Ghost of Christmas Future in pretty much every rendition. And from the book says, why yours, Ebenezer, lighting his match on the tombstone. And then you get Scrooge falling in, clinging to the roots as his coffin opens and there is fire and brimstone and he falls into it and then falls out of his bed.
It was super dramatic, that part. It was like, you know, he's trying to grab the roots, and I love that line, like,
it's yours,
Ebenezer. Like, the way that Pete says it, I love that line.
And that's another Easter egg. To me, that was the finale of Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Oh.
It's that coffin with the fire.
You know what's funny? I had a thought of Temple of Doom, of Indiana Jones' Temple of Doom.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Actually would predate that movie, so it's even better. I'm
Yeah, okay, one year in advance. 84 is when Temple of Doom came out and became the first movie to ever earn a PG-13 rating, if I remember correctly. Pretty sure I'm right on that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're right on
that. It was the first movie to ever get a PG-13 rating because... They're like, you're not going to make a Spielberg movie like, you know, an Indiana Jones movie are, but dude rips a man's heart out.
This ain't PG,
Yeah, like, there's got to be a middle ground. And they were like, all right, make one. All right, so Scrooge comes back. It's Christmas morning. You know how this goes. He, you know, just starts throwing money to everybody. The main star of the film, Cyril Proudbottom, shows up for some reason, really. And, you know, Minnie has no wives, no lines. So I wrote down a good wife is a silent wife. That's the message of this movie. And we close back out on, oh, Merry Christmas Day. Did I miss anything?
Nope, we're done.
Nope.
Well, we got a couple more cameos. And
there were a couple more cameos here and there.
But it's very quick. It's very like, whoosh.
Yeah, here's my thing about this. They don't do or try anything different. This is just, like, straight up just a very short adaptation of Christmas Carol. And like you were saying, Ryan, you know, the work that they did with the giant, that should have just been, like, an example of, I just think, like, more creativity into changing the way that they do this. Like, just swapping out characters and having them, you know, be the same exact way, but not putting any kind of different slant on it and making it feel like its own thing. I mean, I don't know if that was really there. You know, they really aimed for, like, hey, we're going to do this. But it just seems like very paint by numbers to a point that, like you were saying, Mel, maybe just throw on the Muppets. Like, without even seeing it, I will guarantee there's more, at least, chances taken with doing a narrative differently in that film than with this.
Well,
I'd agree with that.
I guess, you know, because it's a short, because they didn't have much, and I guess... I mean, there's certain parts where it's like, really, what can you change? Like, I mean, at the end, Scrooge does. He redeems himself. Like, that is just the story. So, I mean, like,
yeah,
I think they did change it a little bit. Like, here he brings toys. Like, the other one, he buys the big goose, you know, normally. Like, typically, that's the thing. He buys a big turkey. So, he came over, but he didn't bring food. So, he's a terrible guest.
Well, the two things that I, you know, was the Ghost of Christmas Present and the Goofy with as Marley.
Yeah, that seemed,
you know,
like,
those were the only things where they did something, kind of flipped it a little bit and tried a little something different. They could have, I agree, they could have definitely gave it some more flavor, you know, some more of that, like, you know, those Disney touches or like injected a bit more humor into the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have worked. But I mean, for what it is, I enjoy it. I always enjoy watching it. I think it's because it's 26 minutes also is kind of my breaking point for Christmas Carol, only because there's so many versions of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is either the Muppets one, or there's the Patrick Stewart version, or there's the original version always on on Channel 11 at like midnight on Christmas Eve. I can't remember. It's like the black and white version.
Oh,
or whatever.
See, my favorite.
House or Sims.
What was that?
Yeah.
Alistair Sims?
Yes,
that's the one. That's the one you're referring to. Yeah, and you know, outside of that, like Ryan, as you were saying, what they did with Donald was like, oh, okay, I could see a character in a slightly different way. I don't know. Yeah, for what it is, it's fine. It's charming. It's I don't even know if it's that charming. I just feel like it's kind of there. It's just sort of there.
If it wasn't with the Disney characters that we know and love, then we wouldn't think twice about it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Dude, you just nailed it on the head. If it wasn't just because it's like, oh, that's Mickey, and there's Cyril, and there's Toad, and there's everything. Where's Ichabod? Like, where's everybody? Then it would have just been like, yeah, that's an animated version, a very brief animated version. Yeah. That's it does nothing new, and that would be it. That's really good.
I like the animation, though. I really like how they animate Mickey in these, this time, like all that very cute round little mouse.
Yeah, Ryan, it reminded me of Fantasia Mickey, like when they reintroduced Mickey in Fantasia and had that more adorable kind of cuddly look to him.
Yes, it definitely has that kind of feel to it for Mickey. It also very much looks like a precursor to DuckTales and stuff like that for me, like the way that looks in the future. So kind of maybe we're setting the department for that going forward.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, this feels like Disney Sunday afternoon, Disney afternoon cartoons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what this feels like very, very much. Actually, you know what, Brian, you brought it up, and now I'm really curious. What is your favorite version of Christmas Carol? Do you have one?
Did you say Brian or Ryan? I'm sorry.
We'll start with Brian, then we'll go to Ryan afterwards.
Okay.
So you.
My favorite version is... Actually, I probably do enjoy the Muppets Christmas Carol also, or the original one that I was talking about before, and I just forgot the guy's name again that Ryan had mentioned. I do enjoy watching that one. I watch that one with my mom usually every year.
And Ryan, what about you?
You know, this is the version we watch like when we're decorating our Christmas tree because it's 26 minutes. It's short. Uh-huh. It covers just enough time for us to put ornaments on the tree. And it's nice background. But if I'm going to sit down and really invest time in a version, it's probably either the Alistair Sims version or the George C. Scott version.
I like the George C. Scott version.
Oh, that's the other one. That is good.
That Marley scene is – there's some creepy moments in that movie.
Yeah.
There's a scene where, like, he's walking in the street and I guess, like, the equivalent of, like, a hearse, like, rides by him and, like, goes off into smoke. And it's legitimately, like, a creepy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love George C. Scott. Melissa, what about you? I think I know your answer, but what's your answer?
Yeah, my go-to is always Muppets Christmas Carol, but Scrooged is a nice little take on...
Scrooged is great. Mm-hmm. It also it has one of the lines I repeat every time when I hear someone hammering. Every time. If you know the movie, you know what I'm talking about.
What's your take on the Disney Christmas Carol, the one, the animated one with... where Jim Carrey did the voice?
It's fine. I would probably watch Muppets Christmas Carol before that or the Patrick Stewart version before that.
See, my go-to is actually Albert Finney and Scrooge.
Oh, that's good too,
The musical. I love that musical a lot.
Now I'm going to have Thank You Very Much stuck in my head for like a week.
Thank you very much. That's the nicest thing anyone's ever done for me. Love it. I absolutely love it so much. I cannot find that movie. I don't think it's made anymore, like on DVD or anything like that. I can find a used one, I'm sure. But like even the soundtrack, they don't make the soundtrack. I looked on Amazon. There's literally no soundtrack. So I just have to find a version of it or just rip everything from YouTube, I guess. Because that would actually be my favorite one. So... I guess we can talk about the three questions. You know what? It's Christmas. I'm going to give those a pass. Because
can we do iconic shot though?
Yeah. Yes. Why not? What's an iconic shot?
I like the last part where Scrooge is sitting and he's got Tiny Tim on his lap and the kids are around him. It's before like the Mickey and Minnie come in and it closes, but it's like when he just puts the hat on Tiny Tim.
Okay. Brian, did you have one?
Any shot of Mr. Toad with the wig on works for me.
Ryan, how about you?
I'm the same as Mel. It was the final shot just before they go to the end credits, the end card.
I had nothing. I didn't remember anything specific. I really liked the credits. I thought the credits
except
were really cool.
Except
when
for Cyril.
When Cyril shows up, like there's a two shot of Cyril and Donald. Like that's fine. That's good.
Almost running over Scrooge.
I could go with that. What's the second question, Melissa, as always?
Well, it's a moral or an epic, emotional film. I think it's a moral film.
I think it's both. And you know what? For what the story is, I think it does what it's supposed to do. They weren't aiming for the sky on this one. So I feel you know, breaking this down is maybe silly, but it was fun to talk about it. Really was. Do you think it holds up, though? That's a good question. Brian, do you think it holds up?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you know, for what it is, yeah, it's entertaining. It's short. For a kid to – it's a great way, I think Ryan said it earlier, to introduce kids to A Christmas Carol, that story, because it's characters they know. It's nice and short. It's like a TV episode that they would watch. And, yeah, I think it holds up.
Ryan, what about you?
Yeah, I think Brian hit it on the head. It's great to introduce your kids to. It has that, you know, 80s style of Disney television animation we all love. For that, it holds up for what it is.
Melissa?
Yeah, I think it holds up. I think it holds up also because it's short enough that, like, it just keeps moving and then you're done.
Yeah, it's kind of there before – it's done before you even realize it almost. Under the pretense of like using it as an introduction to, you know, to show a kid this, I think it works fine. I think there are a lot better options if you want to, you know, move beyond like the 26-minute runtime. Yeah. There's obviously a lot better options, even in an animated form probably. But for what it is, for what it's trying to do, it accomplishes its goal. So, yeah, why not? It holds up under that particular like circumstance. So... All right, guys, that was Mickey's Christmas Carol. Ain't going to get no shorter than that in the future, folks. Like, that was the one that I remember numerous times recently. We would say something like, oh, this will be a short one, and immediately go on to just regret ever saying those words. I'm looking at you, Summer Magic.
You know, you do realize we're already 50 minutes into this.
Shut your mouth.
Podcast,
right? Yeah, that was good though. It's okay. That is real. Oh, Jesus, really? Actually, I was in the One Man's Dream just yesterday, and I know it's been there the whole time, but they actually have Haley Mills' dress from Summer Magic and stuff like that. And I was like, my God, she was tiny.
Yeah.
Tiny. It's just weird. All right, you guys want to just go to questions?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's go to questions. Our first question comes from, why not include Small One with your review since it's on the same DVD? Clink, clink, clank, clank. Easy answer. I don't have the DVD. I had to rent it on Amazon. And to my knowledge, that wasn't one of the ones that was involved in ours. Actually, one of them, it did have a couple of additional shorts on it, but one of them was like one of the brand new Mickey ones.
Yeah.
So it was that, the hockey one, and something else.
No, there were a bunch. There was Goofy had a ski. There was Mickey and that was Pluto's Christmas tree. There was another Donald Duck one with Chip and Dale, I think.
Okay.
So there's a few.
Does anyone have anything to say towards Small One?
Yeah. No, I don't know.
Ryan, do you remember Small One? Because I honestly, I'm not familiar with it, possibly.
No, I couldn't pull it out of my head.
Sorry, Keith. We failed you. But yeah, unfortunately, I don't have the DVD. Most of the things that we review, I'm renting off of iTunes or Amazon. So I'm kind of to the mercy of whatever they decided to throw on to these additional things, because they can't charge me $4 for a 26-minute short, but they surely will for a 56-minute short. Unbelievable. Joy Mayfield Stewart asks, what one current Disney attraction would you like to see replaced? In the same regard, what would you have as its replacement? We've kind of touched on this, but we can go around and just do a quickie answer for it. Does anyone want to go first?
Oh, I mean, we've said it a million times. It's Tomorrowland Speedway. And with a Wreck-It Ralph Candy Crush. Well, not Candy Crush.
No, that's what I always do. Sugar Rush.
Sugar Rush. Candy Crush. My brain is fried. with replacing it with that, I would love to see that.
Yeah. Or for me, that is up near that, if not the top. But also Journey to Imagination with virtually anything else. Ryan,
keep
what about
Figment,
yeah.
Retool the whole thing.
Yeah. Ryan, what about you?
I took out the Speedway and put back some former version of 20,000 Leagues.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Melissa, do you remember like what your toppy was?
No, probably the Speedway or yeah. Oh, you know what? I'd take out Stitch and put something better in there.
We are getting rid of that. That is going.
Yeah,
though.
It's on its way. Yeah.
But it's on its way. So at least you know
they can
we
just
we
put
have
the
that.
Alien invasion back in. I take that. That was quite all right. Yeah. I kind of like that a lot.
I like that one actually.
Yeah.
JT Landry asks, "What's your favorite Christmas moment in any Disney film?" Oof. Man, I don't know if I have an answer for this one because I generally don't watch Christmas movies, truth be told. Unless evidently Albert Finney is singing and dancing. That's kind of my motif. Or, you know, Bill Murray at the end of it is singing and dancing. And it includes Karen Allen. So, anybody?
I'm a big fan of, I believe it's in Mickey's Twice Upon a Christmas with Goofy, the Goofy and his son scene where his son comes back from college with the girlfriend and Goofy tries to do everything in Goofy fashion, tries to do everything and screws everything up and embarrasses the kid. But then, you know, they have that father-son moment thing and it's pretty good. That's one of my favorite little parts from that one.
Oh, Ryan, do you have one?
The only thing I could really come up with, like just trying to think off the top of my head, was the very end of Toy Story when Buzz and Woody are waiting and we pull out and then all of a sudden you hear the puppy and it comes jumping back in on them and they're like, oh, great, a dog.
Melissa.
I don't know if it's Christmas, but it's snowing in winter and the scene with in Beauty and the Beast when they're singing something there, like where that.
I've always kind of assumed that was Christmassy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she has like a pink dress. So I was
I've always kind of assumed that. Yep. Do I have a Christmas? Oh, I know what it is. The Oogie Boogie song.
Okay, that works. Yep.
There you go. The Oogie Boogie song is my favorite Christmas moment in any Disney film. Mike Bernardin asks, what other literary classics that haven't already been done do you think could successfully pull off a Disney version? War and Peace.
That's
with Cyril Proudbottom. Uncut. 77 hours.
That's a mini series at that point.
Let's think. Man,
you know, the thing I came up with were, I'd love to see Disney do a shot at like the Anasazi Tales, something along those lines. But the other thing I thought of, but that's not really literature, so I went back to literature. I'd love to see a Disney take on the Odyssey.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be fun.
Okay.
Yeah. More Greek stuff would be cool.
Bring in the Greeks! Melissa, did you have a specific one, or?
I'm trying to think of, like, literary classics. I only come back to, like, Shakespeare.
Those are literary classics.
No, I know, but, like, I'm blanking on most other ones, so...
Actually, you know, going off here, you give me a Midsummer's Dream adaptation with a silly Disney spin on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I kind of think that would work really well.
Yeah.
That actually would be a lot of fun. Who would be Puck? Who would be Puck at the end? You know, the little gremlin type character. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, that's got to be Stitch. Yeah. Oh, my God. I want to see Stitch's Puck. That would be so great. Oh man, that would be so fun. That would be so funny. I want that. Okay, that's my answer. Thank God I didn't have one. Yes, you?
No, now I'm learning.
Now you got nothing?
I'm really lost. Have they done a Hamlet?
Yeah, Lion King.
Is that okay?
Yeah,
no,
it's Hamlet.
No, then I
haven't done a Macbeth.
That's the other.
Yeah,
one.
They haven't. They haven't done a Macbeth.
That would be interesting.
Right? No, they haven't done a Macbeth. I don't know if they could do a Macbeth. Then again. I mean, one would say, how do you do Hamlet?
I would Brian? Like a proper telling of the Arthur legend.
Yes. That was what I was thinking at first. Yeah. We get that proper or that second half of the book sort of thing that going towards, I think we mentioned it last week.
Well, you know,
like a live action part two.
Yeah.
That would be a lot of fun. Yes.
You know what also might be fun just for like a, when they were doing all those, you know, and not anthology, but the films like where all the shorts like Make My Music or whatever, that one that I always switch up the words to. But if they did something like that for the Canterbury Tales, that would be fun.
Traveling Through Hell.
No, Canterbury Tales is not Traveling Through Hell.
Oh, no, it isn't.
What do you want, Dante's Inferno?
No.
I want Dante's Inferno.
That's me.
Yeah, I want that too. I kind of want
Wait,
that.
Okay, so I'm
Canterbury
you know.
Tales, they're a bunch of different travelers and they tell stories.
Okay.
So like you have like the Bard's Tale, the White, the, yeah, like just each one tells a story. So
does anyone go through hell?
No, I don't.
Missed opportunities.
Oh. You want the tales of Beetle the Bard?
I want. Yeah, actually, mad. I do. Caitlin Swanson asks, oh, this is good, good. If you could have any memorabilia from the parks, as in part of the park itself, as a Christmas present, within reason, what would it be? I think I would have to go with a teacup put in as a permanent breakfast nook. Oh, that's really smart.
That's cool.
That's actually a really sharp idea. That's good. Brian, do you have anything?
It's better than anything I can come up with. I can think for a sec.
Who maybe has one?
Has anyone got anything?
My wife told me I was not allowed to say the Horizons ride vehicle.
Oh, my God, man.
I don't know what she thought I would do with that, but she told me I wasn't allowed to say that. For me, it is my geek is showing. There's a poster from old Fort Wilderness that there's a printed copy of it. And I'm not sure that it's an actual original copy of it in One Man's Dream, but it's also in the lobby of Fort Wilderness when you check in. And it talks about the old train and has all those pieces on it. And it's a very long, tall, it's like skinny, but it's a very tall poster. I have wanted one of those posters for decades. And if I could get them to just give me that off the wall, thank you very much.
Brian, did you come up with one?
Yeah, I would like the skeletons playing chess in the Pirates of the Caribbean.
I would like to have that
little set.
Yeah, little that's set. Good.
I put that in my living room.
Melissa?
I don't know. Can I like have the Tree of Life? Is that possible?
Yeah, fine. I mean, yeah. Where are you going to put it?
A big backyard.
Yeah, I'll put it in my yard.
A large backyard.
I'll put like a tree swing from it. It'll be great.
What would I want from there? I mean, obviously, I feel like my brain says you got to look at Magic Kingdom, right? So what's my favorite land in Magic Kingdom? I think it would be Adventureland. And then within there, what is something that I would want to have? And you know what? I want my living room to be the set piece of Pirates of the Caribbean when the town's being ransacked. I want to make that into a home theater. And then when I want to, I just flip a switch and it's like, it's Pirates of the Caribbean. That's what I want. So
she said within reason, Pete.
No, actually I said within reason, so I can break the rule.
Okay. Yeah, it's okay. All right.
I was just surprised you didn't talk about a Nautilus.
There's nothing there anymore. I can't take it from there if it's not there.
I would think you'd want something from One Man's Dream.
All right. You know what, then? Let me adjust, because you know what? I can actually get a Nautilus. I would, I fixed it. I will take the model Nautilus that they have in One Man's Dream, but I believe that was used in the film. I will take that and hope it doesn't fall apart in my hands. All right. Dawn Taylor Sanford asks, you were, unless you said it aloud while typing, which... Guess what? Everyone, from now on, I want you to say your questions out loud while typing it, because it's stupid and I think it'd be funny. You were just hired as the design Imagineer for the Moana ride. Tell me all about it. Ryan, why don't you get us started here? Where do you think we should get a first foot going on this one?
I think we should be on a boat.
On a boat.
On a boat. No, I do. I think it should be a boat. I think it's something maybe in the vein of like It's a Small World, a dark ride.
Yeah, I would like to see something like that. I wouldn't want just 3D screens. I don't want that.
No.
I would like a new story. As much as I enjoy the Winnie the Pooh ride, I understand why a lot of people don't, because it is simply just the movie in very, very short pieces. But I would like to see a new story. I'd like to see another adventure of Moana and Maui, and instead of the chicken this time, bring the pig.
Pua. Which is what...
Does that mean pork?
Yeah.
Good.
It's like what Frozen was supposed to be. Like, it was supposed to be a new story, but then it kind of wound up not being completely new.
Well, it is a new story. There's just not a lot of story to tell.
Oh, yeah, but you still get... Yeah,
yeah, it's a thing. But but you don't want to go in Moana and get the songs from Moana?
I want legit new songs. Like, what? If you are promising me that these, you know, people came back to write new songs, like, I want... a new song. Also, right. There's so many demos. I think that
can we cap it off though with like one of the original songs? That should be the finale room. Should be like
You're welcome. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, see, like, I would really want to see that. But no, like, the song at the end where it's, you know, like, that should be the finish.
Yeah, your grand finale.
Yeah, that should be our grand finale.
Yeah, you could do that reprise or whatever. That's for sure. But yeah, I would definitely like a new story, too.
That would be interesting. Brian, what about you? I'm sorry, Melissa, you have something more?
No, I was just going to say, like, Brian said A Small World. And, like, just in my mind, I'm like, that's one of the only, like, calm boat rides, like, you know, Pirates has a dip in it. Frozen has a dip in it. Like, there's no just sit in a boat and go through anything.
Living with the Land would be the only other one.
Okay.
Yeah Living with
it's
the
Land. It's such a big vehicle. I don't remember that it's a boat. I don't know. Just let it go.
She's been on a cruise, folks. Whole time. Thought it was an airplane. I don't know what to tell you. So. All right. Dawn. Moana. Yeah, no, I want to see, that would be fun. I'd love to see like an extension of the story. I think it'd be a lot of fun. And who knows, maybe that goes hand in hand with Arthur Mills. It's not a nation, but if you could add a pavilion to Future World at Epcot, what would its theme be and what would its main attraction be? We have actually had an entire episode of this.
Yeah.
Where we reimagined Epcot. And the World Showcase in particular.
We did too. We did do a World Showcase, but we also did do Future World.
Can you look up what episode that was? While I sort of say a couple. And I know that we've, one of the things we were all interested in was Greece. And the attraction could be Drop the Economy. It would just be a movie where you're on a floor and the floor just disappears. And
it's
you're
the Tower of Terror, just you're not in a car. You're not in a thing.
There's just a pool of, you know, just a pool of water below you, and you all splash into it, high five, and then you go on your merry way. Yeah. But you get some, you know, you get like a statue or something.
Then.
What episodes were those?
Well, those Future World one in particular is episode 49, and then World Showcase is back a little bit ways. I'm just kind of trying to scroll through without missing it too quickly.
Oh yeah, that's right. I just said a pavilion.
Yeah. I think it was when Scott was doing some episodes.
Oh, Scotty.
That's when we did it.
All right, so you know what? I changed that up. So, Ryan, what about you? What's a pavilion that you would add to? I heard pavilion and I thought World Showcase. I'm sorry. What's a pavilion that you would want to add to Future World?
So, I think it would have to be, I want a health pavilion again. I think that's a good theme. I think that it's missing at this point. I don't know what the main attraction would be, some variation of some of the pieces we've already had. But I'd like to go back to that.
Yeah, I'm with that. What about, we got the other one, Melissa, or no?
I'm still scrolling. I think I passed it. I'm sorry.
All right, it's okay. We can move on to the next one. Arthur, hold on for a moment.
But it's definitely back there. It's one of the, within the first 20 episodes, I would think, is one really? Added.
My goodness. Yeah, we're getting close to 2 years for...
Oh, no, it's episode 29. Sorry.
Episode 29!
So 29.
Oh, so I was wrong. There you go.
29 is World Showcase, 49 is Future World. I think for Future World, yeah, we definitely have to switch up the Imagination Pavilion.
Yeah.
Extend it.
Set it on fire.
Give me.
Knock down your imagination, folks. It'll only pain you. That's the message. Corey Hall, what's your one simple favorite thing to do during the holidays at Walt Disney World?
Avoid it.
Brian said it.
I'm sorry.
I've never actually been here for Christmas or New Year's specifically. I will probably be there for New Year's this year, I think. But my thing to do would just be to go to a park and walk around. Have absolutely no agenda. Just enjoy the atmosphere. Accept that it's going to be the way that it is. I don't think I'd go to the Magic Kingdom, though.
No, I want to go to the Animal Kingdom. Like, when we were walking through Animal Kingdom a couple weeks ago and they had the decorations up, like, walking across the bridge from Africa back over to the main area, like, they just had really cool, like, different style Christmas wreaths. Like, one was made out of a bicycle tire. So, like, just to see, like, those kind of cool decorations, like, how they incorporate it with the theme of Animal Kingdom, but it's still, like, Christmas, like, that would be something really cool that, you know, you just take your time, and if it's crowded, no big deal, because you're not doing anything particular. Yeah.
Ryan, what about you? I'm sorry. Brian, you go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, no. I was just going to say, I usually do it. I don't hit all the resorts, but I like to resort hop when I go down there because I always go down the first week in December, usually, and we like to go check out at all the deluxe resorts. They have beautiful decorations. They all have different trees. The Grand Floridian has the giant gingerbread house. I don't remember if it's the Boardwalk or one of them has some really cool stuff in the lobby. The trees and the decorations at Animal Kingdom Lodge and Jumbo and Kidani are both really unique. So it's worth checking out.
You said trees, and all I heard in my head was, look at the birds in the trees. We're not birds, we're a jug band. I would pay good money to just see you destroy that gingerbread house.
Oh, God. Just take a running dive into
it. I'd be like, how much is it? Let's take care of this. Like $78 in gingerbread cookies. Let's do this. Ryan, what about you? What do you like to do during the holidays over on the resorts?
You know, if I'm someplace, I like to go to Epcot. I like to see all the storytellers. That's typically, I like to walk around, taking the sights. You know, like Brian, I like to go to the resorts and look at all the different trees and look at all the different ornaments on the trees. And it's just kind of taking in what's there and not really having a real plan.
Yeah, you know what else I was just thinking? And I feel like this would go right up your alley, Rye. Renting out a cabin over at Fort Wilderness and just doing that.
Yeah.
Having like sort of a low-key New Year's, you know, just, you know, over there and stuff. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That would be a lot of fun. I got to look into that for next year. That would be something. Lodge. What did I say?
Well, no, there are the cabins at Fort Wilderness, but I meant like when the DVC Wilderness Lodge
ones. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure those will be easy.
Oh, yeah, super.
We'll see how that works out. All righty. Elise Koos, I hope I'm saying that correctly. I apologize if I'm not. Out of all the Disney films that were released this year, which one is your favorite? I am going to say wait 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, we are going to do a preview of 2017, and we are each going to tell you our favorite film of 2016. So hold on to that. You're getting an episode about it. Annie Longley, what is your least... I know my answer to this immediately. What is your least favorite part of Christmas celebrations at Walt Disney World, and what will you do to fix that thing / decoration / experience, etc., etc.? Mine is, look, I enjoy Christmas music, but to have it in every location all the time, 24/7, from the day after Thanksgiving is a bit much for me.
I think it's even earlier, unfortunately.
Maybe even earlier. I always miss the music of Main Street when we're there for Christmas. I understand why it's there. I just wish it would be like a nighttime thing or something, so at least it sort of felt a little more Christmassy. Funny enough, though, when I was in Hollywood Studios a couple days ago, I realized that music didn't bug me, and I don't know why. And they had Christmas music playing. I don't know if it was different playlist or something, but it just didn't bug me as much. So that would be mine. I really like Main Street to be Main Street, at least during the day. Just give me a reprieve from the Christmas down the throat thing all the time.
What if they did like Christmas music, but in that style on Main Street? Because I don't think it's in like that, you know, style. So if they did like a jazzy, like, you know, 20s kind of mix of like Jingle Bells or something.
I just don't think I like it during the day. Yeah, that's it. Like,
okay, yeah. I tried.
What about you?
I just want to see more decorations extend. I feel like this year they did do a good part of that in Magic Kingdom. You know, they decorated over near Gaston's Tavern really well. And I would just kind of want to see more of that kind of stuff, but like unique to the land. So, you know, if you're dealing with the Jingle Cruise, like bring that out a little bit, you know, past there and put some Christmas lights over on Swiss Family Robinson or something. I don't know.
All right.
Little things.
Brian, what about you?
I would just like to see them maybe, I'm not a huge fan of the Christmas party. I would like to see them maybe do a little more to make it more enticing to go and to cut down the number of people that are there, at least from the last time I went, which was about, I did not go this trip and I did not go the last trip. So it has been a while since I went. It's been 2 years since I've been, but when I went, I felt overly crowded, and for what it is, I don't think it's really the price is all the time worth the admission, especially for the Christmas one. I think I enjoy the parade for the Halloween one better. I think it's different, but that I would like to see some more improvements with that. And going to what Melissa was saying with that, maybe I don't know if they could do it, but I'm sure they can because Universal manages it with Halloween Horror Nights. Maybe just extend the parks just for the party in terms of the Christmas decorations, because going to what Pete says, like I always go there every Christmas and I do like seeing the decorations on Main Street and all that stuff. But then I would miss seeing the way the parks are, the different lands are themselves the whole time I'm there. So maybe if just on the nights that I'm at the party, you know, they extend those decorations out and really kind of theme the whole park. That would be something I would like to see.
Ryan, what about you?
Building off of what Ryan said, the Christmas party gets more and more expensive every year. I feel like the value decreases every year. There's not as much quality entertainment that there have been in years past. They did bring in a lot more snacks this year as opposed to just a sugar cookie and hot cocoa.
Mm-hmm.
But as a whole, you know, you get mobbed trying to get to the castle show because the real show in Tomorrowland is gone. There's not a whole lot pulling you into some of the other lands. I'd like to see some more entertainment value there, some more things to diversify some of those crowds. Just give me a value for what you're asking for a ticket for a couple of hours in the park at night.
Yeah, I mean, I guess me and Mel will make a slight comment. It felt a little better this year crowd-wise, but after the fireworks. Like, the place really emptied out after the fireworks this year. But that still didn't stop me from feeling that if we didn't do this in a specific order, you can't enjoy it. And that takes up a majority of your night because that's what you came there to see, I guess. But having to spend 3 hours to experience, you know, three shows that are about 10 minutes each seems to me like a bad value. Like, I'm paying mostly for standing and waiting for another thing. The Tomorrowland show was a little better this year. It was
a little more fun. It's not a dance party, so it wasn't
a dance party. It was Stitch actually going to find Santa Claus, and it was cute in its respect. I thought it was okay. Actually, I thought it was pretty good. But yeah, in the overall sense of things, I just feel like there's something missing. But I don't feel like that with Halloween. And maybe that's just because everyone's in costume. So when I'm walking around the other lands, like, there's still a visual thing of like, oh, look, people are in costume.
And they do have the stations set up for the trick-or-treating throughout the different lands. So
yeah, which is the same with the cookies, though. I mean, they had different kind of cookies at every station this year, or most stations, which was cool. I liked that. But when we were leaving, I was like, we got to do this thing different or I don't want to do it anymore. So I'll see what happens next year with that. Moving on, Stan Solo, how you doing, my man? Did Disney make a mistake by not putting the Osborne lights somewhere else, i.e. a different part of Hollywood Studios, Epcot, and Animal Kingdom, maybe even Disney Springs, while they worked on the expansion at the studios? They didn't put it in Springs because that would be free. So that's why they're not there.
Yeah.
I don't think it fits in Animal Kingdom. I can see it being something in Epcot. I would see something like that. I don't know where you would put it, though, right now, just because that's a lot. It's a lot of real estate. Like, when you think back at how large that area was, and that's all that area was used for. Other than that, it was a completely pointless fake backlot that offered, like, nothing. Hollywood Studios, they just don't have a space over there right now. It's just, having just spent, like, most of the day there yesterday, you can really walk from one end of that park to the other in not a lot of time. It's an interesting thing that's going on right now over there. I still like it. There's still things to do, but it's just not going to take you very long. So while I feel that, if you could have moved it in Hollywood Studios, fine. I also think, I don't know, call me whatever. I don't care. Like, I don't know. The Osborne lights to me, they were really cool and stuff. But as soon as they said, we're getting a Star Wars land here, I was like, burn it down. If they could bring it somewhere else and it would fit the theme and everything of that, I feel Epcot would be the only option. But even then, I don't know. I feel like that might be stretching it a bit. Ryan, do you think that that Osborne Lights has a home maybe somewhere else?
So if I think it has a home anywhere, it's actually still at the studios once we get Toy Story Land. If we're looking at Andy's backyard, putting up the Christmas lights in his backyard, that'd be great. But there's been a lot of information around, like, this fall about the possibility of Silver Dollar City in Branson, Missouri, getting these like 15 million Christmas lights adding next year. And if you look at any of their slides of photos they have of it, looks a lot like the Osborne lights. So I'm not sure the Osborne lights aren't just gone for good.
Yeah, I think they're gone for good. I just don't think it has a place really right now over there. Brian, what about you? I mean, I feel like you were kind of ambivalent to its departure as well.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed them when they were there. I don't really miss them that they're gone.
Yeah.
And I don't really see a home for them. I wouldn't want them to shoehorn it into some place it doesn't belong or it wouldn't really fit. But I mean, if it came back to you, I wouldn't be like, oh my God, I can't believe they brought that back. But as of the way it stands now, I really don't see a place for them.
Melissa?
No, yeah, same.
Okay. All right. Eric McMahon said, well, I only want to wish you all to have a great holiday and a fantastic new year. Love you all. Thank you very much, mate. We love you too. Thank you. And you've been an awesome supporter from us from the very beginning. I appreciate it very, very much. So thank you. And you have a good new year as well, my friend.
Yes, you too, yes. Eric.
Yes.
Yeah, Merry thanks, Christmas. Eric. You too, man.
John Mayfield Stewart asked, okay, well, this is going to go towards something I kind of answered before by accident. If you could add another country to World Showcase at Epcot, what would it be and why? Melissa, what was that episode again?
The World Showcase one was 29.
29. Was that, Ryan, were you with us back then?
I don't think I was.
I don't think I was.
No, I believe Scott did that one yeah. with us. I think it was you, me, Mel, and Scott. Yeah.
Maybe,
yeah.
You know what? Maybe we have to examine our answers and come up with a different option and then have a new one with Ryan.
Yeah.
I had like, amazing answers.
Kind of I think we should I think we might have to do that actually. But for now, go back to episode
29
and you can check out all of our answers on that because we go into it in pretty harsh detail. Good detail. Harsh. Real. That was a weird word for me to throw in there. Yeah. Eddie Buskirk. I know it's a Disney show, but since it's Christmas, give us the one movie you have to watch every year at Christmas time. That's a great question. Who wants to go first? What's the one movie during Christmas time you have to watch? I actually know my answer.
I don't know. I'm terrible. I feel like I don't go to watch movies anymore. Like, I just don't pick to watch a movie.
Okay.
I like Muppets Christmas Carol, though.
All right.
Brian? We watch National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation every Christmas Eve because it's basically my family, so we just watch it.
Ryan?
I've gotten really into White Christmas for about the past 5 or so years, and it's just a staple of Christmas for me now.
This is going to be a weird answer with those answers, but Lord of the Rings.
Ooh, yeah.
I can just put those on all day and watch them and feel fine. That right now is my Christmas Day thing, and then New Year's turns into Twilight Zone, of course.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Of course, because I'm a human being. I'm not a monster. But that would be mine. And that's it for our questions. Did we have any reviews for this week? No reviews this week, but hey, everyone's busy. It's Christmas time. Yeah. But when you get a chance, guys, if you haven't already, hop on over to iTunes and, add a 5-star review for us. Mel will read it at the end of the show. And that helps us a lot, helps us reach new folk. It's the way these weird things work within the internet world that we live in now. The horrible, horrible internet world. So I guess with that is the end of our episode today. And it won't be the last episode of the year, though.
Mm-mm.
It won't be. You guys want to talk about what we're doing next week?
Did I mention it?
Did I?
Sure.
If I mentioned it, I mentioned it 2 weeks ago. And who knows if anyone remembers from then. So next week, we are going to do, wait a minute, am I going to do that or the other one? I thought we were doing Heroes and Villains bracket next week.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah, we are, yeah.
Okay. I was confused about that one.
next week, we are going to do a Heroes Songs versus Villains Songs bracket. I have the bracket now. I will publish it before the show so everyone can kind of play along. And we are going to come down to the ultimate victor. And it's gonna be a long show. And for me to say it's going to be a long show, strap in, because there's a lot of hero songs, and we didn't want to omit anything, even if it's not going to win. We still felt that we wanted to put it on the list, so our bracket is not just a simple 16-on-16. It's there's a couple more extra brackets that we had to throw in there, so that's going to be, that's going to be next week, and then the first week of 2017. Will be our preview of 2017 and our favorite movie of 2016. So until then, I want to remind you that this episode was brought to you by MEI Travel. For all your vacation planning needs, head on over to meitravel.com, guys. Take a vacation. Come visit us. It's actually somewhat cool now. So the best time to travel is right now. And then not when it goes above 90 again. So you've got a window. But come on down, visit us, have a good time, visit Disney World, go to Disneyland, tell us how you like it, go to Hong Kong Disney and brag. That would be something I'm going to do in the future. So head on over to MEI Travel. Becky and her team can take care of everything, custom make your trip to the way you want it, and just put your feet up and relax. What else do we want to talk about? Song? Song right now you're listening to is There You Are by Pogo. You can find this and more over at soundcloud.com/PogoMix. His website is pogomix.net. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter for this show at Diz Magic Hour Pod. That's D-I-S Magic Hour Pod. On Facebook, we are Disney Magic Hour. If you want to add yourself to the group, seek us out and ye will find. You can also find our show on iTunes, Google Music Play. And if you head on over to soundcloud.com/Disney Magic Hour Podcast, you can find all of our episodes. You can stream that across all of your devices. We are also available on Instagram at
Disney Magic Hour Podcast.
Shazam. And then when you're done with that and you've got to read about more of the history of, you know, Walt Disney World and all the tiny little details that you may not even notice, you want to find Ryan Wilson of the Main Street Gazette. And everyone can find that where?
MainSTGazette.com is where the site lives. You can also find us on Instagram and Twitter at MainSTGazette. And if you search Main Street Gazette on Facebook, that's where everything is kept there as well.
Perfect, perfect, perfect in every way. Till next week, say goodnight, Melissa.
Goodnight, Melissa.
Say goodnight, Brian.
Goodnight, Brian.
Say goodnight, Ryan.
Good night, Ryan.
Good night, Pete. And say good night, Pogo. You there, and there you are.